Tuesday on the Horn B&E with you, Texas Longhorns headed to Omaha. We know that. They're playing Mississippi State. We now officially know that. Bulldogs beat up on Notre Dame last night, 11-7. So if you're looking at your College World Series bracket, the teams the Longhorns are concerned with now, Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Virginia. It was rough on the Dallas Baptist Patriots yesterday. It looked like they were going to make their first ever trip to Omaha. Or at least they had a shot at it. They're up 2-1, and seventh inning. Boy, they were. That was a really good baseball game. Dallas Baptist made, I think both teams made about three or four great defensive plays. Dallas Baptist was making, you know, defensive plays all over the place, trying to hold on to that one run lead. Then seventh inning, a couple of dink hits, couple of little, you know, load the bases. I think there was a walk and then an infield hit. All of a sudden, the bases are loaded. They go to the lefty to get back to back left handed hitters for Virginia. They go to the lefty to get him out, and actually he came in and walked the first batter, which then loaded the bases, and then he gave up the grand slam, grand salami, with two outs in the seventh inning. And at that point, that was the ball game. They went to win at 5-2.
Winning is hard.
Winning is, well, that's at that level, those final 6-8 outs are the toughest to get, man. Toughest to get, clinging to one-run lead and a lot of pressure there, but a good win for Virginia. So Virginia's on that side of the bracket with Mississippi State, Tennessee, and Texas. If you're keeping score, the Longhorns, the highest-seeded team there. But, well, there's plenty of company because Tennessee's right behind them at 3. Vanderbilt is 4. Arizona, who can just absolutely hit the baseball, they're 5th-ranked team in the country. They are there in Omaha as well, but they're on the other side, along with Vanderbilt and Stanford and company and NC State. But the teams Texas is looking at, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Virginia.
And today on Shirts and Skins, Chad is still on vacation. And Trey will have Chris Del Conte on at 2 o'clock today.
Yeah.
Athletic Director Chris Del Conte will join. I'm going to join him for the first 2 hours, as a matter of fact, Trey Elling the third. So, but he'll have the Athletic Director at 2.
Are you guys going to get along or are you going to argue the whole time?
He's probably going to get after me about the 100-degree day. But I'm going to try to not argue with him. How's that? I don't want to do that. By the way, you said Adult Swim. I just remember... It wasn't being the lifeguard that we had an Adult Swim when I was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. You know what we used to have as a kid? Adult Skate. When we ice skated, we had the ice skating rink. When the kids used to run around going all over the place, there was a time they would call all the kids off the ice and there would be an adult skate.
That's the skating rink?
Yeah, and that's when I used to do my
ice or roller?
Ice skating. Okay, ice skating. That's okay. When I used to do my twirls and, you know, my double axles, triple loop. Triple so sow cows and things like that. You know what I'm saying?
I was through channels yesterday, and iTanya was on. iTanya, the figure skating film.
Some of the dumbest people in the world. that really happened. That was for real.
That's what you come out of that movie thinking, because they did a very good job of it, and Margot Robbie does a real nice job as Tanya Harding. But
yes.
The bumbling
The galoolies?
The galoopies.
Galoopies.
Yeah, that they actually thought that they were going to pull this off. Like that they like this was such a ridiculously planned crime. It was almost something out of a slapstick show that this was they're actually
it really happened.
Yeah, we're gonna walk up broad daylight and whack this lady in the knee and run out. We're gonna drop the weapon like right there in the parking lot. I mean these idiots. Remember in the movie like Galooly got to whack her, Nancy Kerrigan in the knee, went running and the door was locked. So they had to take the thing and then break the door open. Oh, they
didn't scout out very well.
Yeah, good planning. Good planning.
Terrible planning.
Oh, gosh. And one of the guys living in his mom's basement. I mean, it's just because, you know, we all knew the story. But then when you see behind the scenes, you're like, what a bunch of buffoons. And that became the worldwide story.
Yes.
They went to the Olympics. And these knucklehead buffoons pulled this off. Unbelievable. But, yeah. And then at the end of iTanya, if you remember... It's the beginning of the O.J. saga.
Yeah, that's right.
Like the very end of the movie, it's the slow chase. And that really formed what we know today as reality television because people were so captivated by the drama and the storyline of Tanya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan. That led right into O.J. Simpson. And really, television and media has never been the same.
That's right.
Never been the same again. Because
the downfall of society.
The downfall of society is Tanya Harding and Jeff Galooly.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's where it began. Because now Isaiah Collier, our producer, is a bona fide addict of The Bachelor.
That's so scary.
Which is just the worst franchise of all time. But Zay, it's on again, right? There's a new one?
Yeah, don't ruin it for me. Me and my lady got to watch it today.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's the thing about
you
The
Bachelor. Sit up at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, hot as hell, watching that.
Yeah.
Man, yeah. Netflix and chill, man.
Yeah, man.
No, but I did see
what is that stuff I had to watch with my wife? Fantasy Island? What did she
Survivor.
Have? Same
you
thing.
Watch Survivor.
Fantasy Island or whatever it is she had me hooked on for forever.
Here's what I like. I like that The Bachelor, or here's what I hate. Because whether it's The Bachelor or The Bachelorette, and this is a bachelorette, Zay, right? This is a brunette that I saw her last night. I didn't watch it, but I flipped through, and there she was.
Yeah, Kate. She aight.
She aight. But say, it's not like they come once a year. They put out like three new ones a year, don't they? It's unbelievable how they roll these things out. But who's hosting?
It's like Survivor.
It is.
Twice a year.
Before he was the president, it was like, what was it? The TV show, the Trump had.
Oh,
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
They roll those out every couple of years,
right.
Twice a year. Zay, what is who's hosting it now with Chris Harrison?
You're fired.
Dumped.
It is Tayshia and Caitlin, former bachelorettes.
Oh. Team hosts. Team hosts for The Bachelor.
There's a good chance I'll never see one teeny episode of that, Zay.
I've always thought if it could go to, like, Cinemax or something, it'd be kind of cool. If you can make it R-rated and, like, really show the good stuff. Now I'm in. Think they'd ever do that, Zay? Especially when they start getting lubed up and a couple of glasses of wine in them.
They still, like, kiss on each other. And
hell
then,
yeah.
Then they get married and like, stuff like that.
That's right. That's one that
and you got to find out who was doing what to your wife or something like that.
Yeah, that's always been my issue with that. No, there have been a lot of issues with that program. But you see the show.
Yeah.
And in it, like, she is the bachelorette and she's making out with, like, half the cast. And like whatever,
yeah, fantasy. You better be comfortable with yourself.
Fantasy
when you go
suite,
on the show,
and then you get married, and then it all comes out, and you're watching it.
Oh like, no, I'm going to ask a lot of questions.
Like you kissed that dude.
What else did you do with him?
You, by the way, you said that exact same thing to me.
But people get married from that. They've been getting married on those shows.
Well, then
right?
They better not ever watch the whole thing. Like that would be my thought.
Yeah, I would think that you would say, "I don't want to see any episodes." You know, we are what we are together, but I can't go back in the past.
Well, it's like
but I'm watching. Not like that. I got to go back in your past.
I know you do.
I just do. I just have to
ask
the questions.
Yeah, but when you meet, okay, look, I mean, whoever, your wife is lovely, but you don't go back and, like, revisit your
oh, I don't?
Your wife's dating past and boyfriend she's
don't.
At.
I don't ask questions, even now. Like,
what does
you know,
it matter?
It does matter. It does matter to my mind. I'm a lunatic. That matters. I always want to know. You know, when you go back and your wife, you talk about high school and you talk about college.
What,
tell me you don't go back there every one time.
Old.
I don't care. We're going to go back there. You know you've done that before with
no.
your wife. You,
I was at a wedding.
When the guitar guy was kissing up on your wife when she was in sixth grade.
Sure. You don't even know. I was at a wedding recently.
Who was it, Kevin Fowler?
No, Kevin Fowler.
Who was the guy kissing
Jack
your
wife? Jack Ingram.
Jack Ingram and your wife had this thing going
yes,
on.
Back in the
you didn't
day.
Know about that, Zay, did you? You never heard about that, did you? Zay, there's another one
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, never heard this story.
Jack Ingram, I know this, and he's a friend of ours. He was the first
friend of the show.
First person to ever get to second base with who was my wife now, was not my wife.
How about that, Zay?
Yeah, up the shirt kind of thing. Up the shirt.
They're like in seventh grade.
Yeah.
There wasn't nothing up in that shirt then.
A little bit. I wouldn't know. I wasn't there. I was in fifth grade.
I was just a kid. You were just a kid.
But you know, it's funny. We went to a wedding recently down in the Woodlands for her really good friends from high school. They were high school sweethearts, got married, had one child, and I told you, she went on to play golf at TCU and got married to a guy who played football at TCU. So we went to the wedding, but at the wedding, this is all of her high school friends. It was almost like a high school reunion. And there's a picture of her with her first kiss, her first real boyfriend, and then her prom date, who happened to be her first.
All there?
Part, yes. All there.
All right, here's what I'm asking. I'm asking questions.
Oh, I care.
I'm 66 years old, and I haven't got a true number of what has happened in the past of my wife.
You're
and she's
drive
like,
yourself crazy.
She goes, what are you looking for? I just want to know. And there's not, I don't know
to
very
that's
many guys. Well, that's not odd.
I don't want
to
know.
I'm going to go that there is a huge amount of men that go back to their they've been married to their wives and they're still trying to get numbers. So you're in college and
you're willing to share yours?
Well, hell no. I got to share all. It's like the Sears and Roebuck catalog. What are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. Are you digging out your little old black book and going, let's go through it.
Tell my wife, it's numbers. That's what I say to her. She goes, so, you know, back at Boston College, you know, 50-yard line, you know, dude, you're so vain, woman. And she goes, can you give me numbers? And I just say, you have a hard time reading the Bible? It's like the Bible. There's a lot going on in the Bible. But for her, I want to know specific numbers. Guys ask for specific numbers.
Not. Well, I just understand.
At one time you did.
Saying,
at one time you did.
I was a kid. She was a kid. We all became adults, and things happen, and you have relationships that work and then don't work, and then whatever happened before that doesn't. It's not my business.
Somebody says, trust me, you don't really want to know.
It's not my business.
I want to know. I've been married now for 3 years. I'm still trying to get a count. You know, I know the ex-husband, and, you know, I know about that, and that, but I'm trying to get a count that's not that far back. I've only known her for like 5 years. So there's numbers that I need to know. And she refuses to give them up. But don't think once a year I'll come up at some time and say, you know, if she gets a couple wines in her, I try.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
These guys, there's guys going, yeah, Buck, you're right about that. Yeah.
I see both sides. I see what you're saying. I see what E's saying.
Well, I hung out with all, you know, I was like, well, my wife had a bunch of ex-boyfriends, but she had one long-term boyfriend out of high school that she dated for 5 years.
But don't you want to know about that other creature that she says we were just friends?
No.
I do.
How do I know? He seemed like a nice guy, the guy that was
your
first boyfriend.
He's not.
How do you know he's not a nice guy? He seemed like he's married now. He's got his own family. He's off doing his own thing.
I'm talking about back then. I need to know. I'm sorry, but I need to know about back then.
No. I mean, I have known this since I met her. I mean, when I met her, she had a 5-year boyfriend like that had just ended. So I knew that. I mean,
okay, that's good. I got that part.
She had people.
But I
want to
know about Sylvester. I want to know about the 2 months with Sylvester. That's what I want to know. Okay. I'm not worried about the 5-year guy. I know something happened then, but it's the one she said, oh, yeah, I remember Jack. Jack Reacher? Who is? What do you mean, Jack?
Jack Ingram.
No.
It was seventh grade, man. They were like on bicycles. Good Lord.
Okay. Devin Booker is with Kendall Jenner right now. Kendall Jenner's history is Ben Simmons and Blake Griffin.
Oh, you don't think those two talk about that? You think he keeps it? Devin Booker doesn't want to know who's been dribbling up in there? You know what I'm saying?
Dribbling up in there.
You don't think he wants to know?
I mean, he knows already.
He already knows.
Yeah, all right.
He's been playing really well, by the way.
Who, right. Booker?
Yeah.
Because I don't think the Kendall Jenner side, I don't think the Jenner side is the Kardashian side. That's the cursed side. That's the Lamar Odom, James Harden.
I think that's a man thing. I'm just telling you two gentlemen here, as BK would say to his co-host, you gentlemen.
Look, I won't say that as I was getting to know her that we didn't have conversations about previous relationships.
Like, that's what I'm talking, those are the ones.
Yeah, but it wasn't, I didn't pry, she didn't pry, it was just, yeah, I had this relationship, whatever, but at that point it was about us, and it's about, you know, whatever. Now
I just know my wife for
25
years. I've only known this person for 5 years. There's a lot I still need to know.
Yeah, but I understand that. Like, but so when you met your wife 5 years ago, she was whatever her age was.
Yeah.
She's been around a little bit. So have you.
Yeah.
But like, you really want to, like, I understand you would
want to
know.
Do I want to know numbers?
No.
Sorry.
She was married for a long time, was she not?
Yes, she was.
I mean, like, so I think anything, yeah, things that have happened in the recent 5 or 6 years, okay, how's your dating been going since whatever, and but 20s?
Is there something wrong with me? Does that make me, make something wrong? Does that make me wrong?
I think at your age, wanting to know what she was doing when she was a teenager is a little bizarre. Just to me.
College. How about college?
Oh, college is fun.
I know. That's the part I'm trying to get to. You know, get it? That's the part I want to get to.
Yeah, but she's a totally different person than now, right? She's growing up, becoming an adult, living life, and now she's your wife, and she's, you know, whatever age you're
old. Well, if it's not so bad, why don't give me numbers and names then? Okay, if it's not so hard, you know, we've grown up and everything else. Well, want to make your husband happy? Tell him all. Tell him everything.
Well, I do know most of those. Most of what I believe I know about my wife, but that's okay because we talked about that in the beginning.
Listen to these people. You people. I'm sorry.
You people.
Oh, boy.
All right, share and share alike. There we go. Well, hope your wife. I think if you want names and numbers from her, you should be willing to provide names and numbers to her. So
I can't do all that. I can't.
All right, then leave it alone. Let it be, as the Beatles once sang.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
Eloquently, let it be. Okay, so we've got Longhorn baseball for sure, marriage on the brain, and other things that are out
Letting
there.
Let me know soccer, duh, will be tonight.
Ooh, we excited about this? This is our,
I am.
So this is the podcast you do with Brad Kellner called
yes.
Soccer, duh.
Duh.
And
yeah.
what are our conversations tonight about Austin FC?
Well, it'll be about the draw last week and how their goalkeeper stood on his head all night long and could have been 4-1, but it'll be about the upcoming game, most of it, and the excitement surrounding Austin FC coming up this weekend. That will be fun.
Good times.
Yeah, it'll be good times. The city's been waiting for this, and they've waited a long time. 8 road games. Team is pretty decent. This is a really decent team. This team could have, I mean, when you go on the road 8 times, you could really fold it up to 10 and said we have an excuse for why you're not playing well. But I think 2 draws, 2 wins, 3 losses. Does that sound right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And look, I mean, as we've talked about with all of our soccer experts, and you are one of them, Glenn Davis has been on with us many times, and he talks about how long the MLS season is and that how many teams do indeed make the playoffs. So now if the Austin FC can focus on
2-4-2, there you go.
Yeah, the opportunity to play a bunch of home games now. They've played 8 road games to start their season, and they can use what I think is going to be a pretty electric home crowd. I mean, 20,000 fans, the new arena, the novelty of the whole thing. And if you're paying attention to sports bars and watch parties, there's a lot of excitement for this team.
Sure.
Throughout this city. You know, can that help them? And I heard from the Longhorn baseball team of how much having that crowd behind you is huge. I mean, it's an enormous factor in a game. It gets your adrenaline pumping. Keith Ania comes out of the Longhorn bullpen throwing 98 miles an hour when he typically throws about 94. And
he says,
because the crowd was pumping through me, man.
Yeah.
This thing was, all of a sudden, I'm firing that ball 5 mph faster. That, you know, can Austin FC build on that? Because that's what they need, right? They don't have a great scoring team. They don't have the finishers right now.
Mm-hmm.
But can they ride the wave and take advantage of these home games? And
but they play hard as hell. They do. They're blue collar group. They really can get it done. And they've got a great goalkeeper, I believe, that if you can get them 2 goals. But they scored once in like 5 games. And if their goalkeeper continues to play the way he is, and then, as you said, gets that home crowd behind him, who knows?
Ride the wave.
That's right.
Well, we saw it when Texas Austin FC played at Nashville, right? And that crowd, that was a huge. You could just feel it watching the match. That Nashville, much like Austin, has a brand new arena, and that crowd was pumped.
And I'm thinking this will be the largest crowd they've played in front of, even though on the road.
Yeah, see, I don't know.
Against the Sounders.
I don't know.
This crowd here will be the biggest.
But 20,000 and hard to get a ticket. Plus, they opened that new building on Wednesday with the U.S. Women's National Team in town, which is pretty cool. We'll get some thought on that tomorrow as we get you ready for that. And the opening of the new Q2 Stadium, pretty cool stuff. All right, we'll be back. We'll get you the very latest on this Texas baseball team, what the roadmap looks like. Also, the recruiting weekend for the Longhorns last weekend, Arch Manning. There's an update on how Arch Manning's visit went, plus the other top stories of a Tuesday, live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and always at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E with you. You know, a lot of big stories today, but how about this one, Buck? You know, the Big 12 announced last week that it would distribute $34.5 million to each of its member schools for their share of the league's annual TV and sponsorship package.
Okay.
It's down. They were up and down $40 million before, but, you know, the COVID thing. But still pretty good, $34.5 million in Big 12 revenue from their TV package with Fox and ESPN, and, of course, shared equally among the 10 teams. Texas, of course, has their own Longhorn network.
Oh, and they get a little 15 here.
Yeah, and we know that SEC and Big 10 bring in a lot more than that, more teams to share it with, but at the same time, they're the Big 10 network, the SEC network, both does gangbusters, and they split that evenly as well. I mean, think about that. You talk about the growth of some of these smaller programs, like Northwestern. Or even in the Big 12, a team like, you know, a smaller school getting $35 million during a COVID year from TV, that's pretty good. Now,
Indiana?
Well, how about this? Well, Northwestern. I mean, the estimates are this, though. Think about this. Last week, We talked about the 12-team playoff proposal, which is coming. The college football playoff with 12 teams, you know, top four get a bye. Next eight play into to what would be an 8-team tournament from there. So it's a 12-team playoff. Estimates early from network TV folks that the new playoff expansion model could soon earn the Big 12 at least that annually in just college football playoff money. So think about that cash. Because here's the deal. ESPN is currently paying an average of $608 million annually for the three games. So ESPN airs the college football playoff. They put it on about 12 channels, right? They have, you know, coaches' rooms. They've got different broadcasts, home team broadcasts, and the official broadcast. And they pay just north of $600 million.
And you were worried about image and likeness? Is what's about to happen?
But so if they go to the current contract is a 12-year deal that ESPN signed with them, and it expires in a couple of seasons. But I'm sure ESPN would come back to the table and rework that if they wanted to start this in 2023.
Sure.
But early estimates and a company called Navigate values an 11-game playoff, because a 12-team playoff would be 11 total games versus three, that the playoffs would be close to $2 billion annually. $2 billion just in the college football playoff. That doesn't include the packages for Big 12 and SEC and everything throughout the course of a year. This is just for the games that would start in December and finish in January. 11 games, $2 billion. Okay? Well, that's a 212% increase from the current. So if they spun that off to all of the power conferences that participate, then the Big 12 could add an annual $35 to $40 million more to their take just from the college football playoff itself, on top of what they're already making.
So you want to be mad at college football if you're on campuses and you're worried about, well, what about my sport? What about this sport? What about that sport? Well, your sport is going to get supported by college football to the tune of a lot of money now. It's going to help the other sports survive and thrive, really.
Survive and thrive.
Yeah.
And look, now with name, image, and likeness online, you know, one of the things that I think really this 12, because people keep texting, and if you're going to text that it's going to water down the season, I need you to explain why. Because I don't see that. I don't see that it waters down when only 9% of the teams that compete make it into that tournament. That's not a large number. There's still a lot more teams that won't get into that playoff than will. Mm-hmm. I don't think under 10% of the teams making it would be a watering down situation. I would argue the opposite and say it would make more games in November, as they're trying to compete for those 12 spots, more compelling. There'd be more important games. If you're just limited it to four, or before when it was two, there were a couple of big games every November that mattered the most.
There's people who just want to go back to the AP and the voting. By, I mean, that's...
Now you can
yeah, right.
Get off my lawn. That's not happening. But they're going bigger. But I don't buy the argument that it waters down the regular season at all. I think it makes actually more every game more important. Because when only two teams could get in, or four... Again, there's only a couple of huge games each year. Now there's quadruple that.
Sure, you pay attention to college football from the get anyway, but if you're not, by the middle of the season, you're going to really be like in tune to where your team is.
Well, I mean, gosh, I mean, as we said last week, if you use the model from last year's model, take exactly what they're proposing,
right?
Put it on top of last year, the Oklahoma Sooners would have been in as a four seed and had a bye under this system, because they would have been the fourth highest ranked conference champion. Well, isn't that what everybody wants from college football, that you can start and lose two games to start the season and you're not disqualified? You're still in it, and by the end of the year, you're playing as good as anybody?
Right. It's either I just don't want to hear all the bitching and complaining about it from the smaller schools. I like the fairness about it. You're probably not going to win, but you get a chance.
Right. You're in. You have a seat at the table under this.
Right.
And that's why they, you know, in lieu of six or eight going to 12, is to make sure everybody's included, protect your top four. Take the other eight and give everybody a spot, including the conferences like the SEC, who believe they should have two or three teams in there, especially the Coastal Carolinas. They get in out of the Sun Belt and Cincinnati. So you get everybody in.
Right.
Give them a chance. You know, the higher seeded teams of those, you know, 5 to 12 matchups get a home game. That's an extra home game. That's even more money that in revenue you're generating. And the other factor I really like, Buck, is with this whole wave of opt-outs, I think a 12-team playoff, that's 24 teams, that creates... 12 teams, that's more games. That creates fewer opt-outs. I think you keep more people invested, more players who would simply, well, I don't want to go play in the Peach Bowl. Because one of the matchups that would have been created under this system last year, Buck, would have been Cincinnati playing Georgia in a first-round playoff game, right? Number 8 versus number 9. Well, that game actually happened in the Peach Bowl.
Right.
If you want to argue, it waters things down. Would you rather watch that game in a bowl game, or would you rather watch that game in a survive and advance game?
Yeah, and I think, like you said, I think you'd have more players saying, I want to see my team good. This is a player. This is fun.
Well, and if you combine that with name, image, and likeness and producing and increasing your own brand, well, by all means, you want to be playing in those games on television with everybody watching, correct?
Yeah, it's that trickle-down effect, you're right. This helps your likeness and image right here.
Yeah, you want to.
Yeah, each and every time you get a chance to be on TV.
Well, and I think one of the things that needs to be said, too, if you talk to college football coaches, Urban Meyer, for example, when he decided to spurn coming back to college over going to the pros with Jacksonville, you know, he said the current system, it's impossible to recruit. I mean, kids want to go play for the championship, and if you're only allowing four teams in, those four teams that are typically in there are going to continue to get the top players.
And by the way, it's...
But if you open it up to 12, well, now there's more opportunity.
Yeah, there's opportunities. Yeah, there's opportunities to go other places if your team is constantly getting a chance to play. If the Cincinnati's keep winning the way they win, or Coastal's, hey, the players are going to come to your school too to have a chance. But we all understand there's about four teams that are going to, it all comes down to about four teams again anyway.
Correct.
Your chances of actually winning this thing, but at least you have a seat at the table. You can't complain about that part anymore. When you complain about that, they'll say, well, you just got to get better. What are we supposed to do? Let you win?
Well,
I'm not going to let you win.
And as the money pours in, the theory is it would. You know, the conference, what is it, the American Athletic Conference, their champion gets in every year, right? Well, that makes the American Athletic Conference more appealing. People want to pay attention to the American Athletic Conference,
right,
and the Sun Belt, because one of those teams is going to get a seat at the table.
Dude, nobody have paid attention to the Sun Belt the way they did last year. Well, it's been years and years and years. Yes, the Sun Belt's been getting better, but nobody paid until Coastal and Louisiana started hitting their stride.
Especially the way they started with Louisiana with a win over Iowa State.
Right.
You know, Coastal was an undefeated team. They had teams beating higher. I mean, that was big, right?
Right.
But my point would be that those conferences now become in the future even more interesting, because if they get a seat at the table, the games during the year are important. The TV ratings go up. They're making more money as a conference, and they get this $30-40 million kickback from the college football playoff, which they then distribute throughout their conferences, and everyone's got more revenue to use to grow the brand. I mean, I think there's a lot of wins. I don't see a lot of losses, and I don't think it waters down the regular season. But is it all about money? Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
all. But by the way, because it's all about money doesn't mean they don't play any harder. That's what the thing is. People tend to think that, well, they got so much money involved, they got likeness and image, they're not going to play as – yeah, they will.
Yeah.
They'll play as hard. You won't get watered down stuff. You'll get really good football games. Because the NFL does the same thing. I love the NFL, the way they play.
I'm just a fan of games that – it's a survive and advance situation, right? It's win and you move on, lose and you go home. That's what's the most compelling about what we're watching in college baseball. We watched two more of those games yesterday. That's what's compelling about the NFL on a week-by-week basis.
Right.
You're trying to qualify for the tournament, and then it's a single elimination tournament. And look, when you say that a college football 12-team playoff is 11 more games, it's actually more than that, because now all those games in a conference championship scenario or late in seasons, well, now you have 22, 25 games that are – if I win, I'm going to be in. If I lose, I'm out, right? Because if I win this game, I win my conference, I get the seat at that table. Well, now you're talking about an extra 20, 25 games a year that are almost a playoff elimination games. To me, that's better, because it's more than what it is
now. And we've been looking at the bowl games and how obsolete they were starting to get the last 15 years, period.
Yeah, no question.
They were just starting, and people were even adamant football fans, with the exception of BK, who has to watch them all, would say, you know what? I didn't watch that game. I don't have to gamble on it. Yeah. Well, thank you, NFL and everybody else, and
right.
FanDuel and everybody else does it.
But then that would be another case and cause for argument for me is, would you rather watch 25 more games that matter, but come December, would you rather watch, you know, eight new games that actually matter, or these bowl games
I don't. I hardly watch bowl games. It's got to be so my water down.
Well, and that I think it's exacerbating the gap between the haves and the have-nots, because what you end up seeing is there are three games, four teams each year. They're in. That's where all the top recruits want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the lesser bowl games, right, the players are like, I'm not going to play. I'm going to get ready for the National Football
League. All you have to do is look in the stands at those bowl games. It's hard to watch that.
Well,
it's just like having COVID. Nobody goes.
Well, I do think that is there are the two drawbacks, or several. There are a couple drawbacks too that I think you have to put into the conversation. you know, you are lengthening the season for college athletes. I mean, there's going to be some teams playing 14, 15 games potentially over the course of a long season. One of the interesting fallouts from this, you know, one of the arguments within conferences is that the SEC only plays 8 conference games, and whereas the Big 12 plays 9, the Big 10 plays 9, Pac-12 plays 9. I don't wonder if they approve this in July and it's moving forward, that either the other conferences demand the SEC to play 9,
mm-hmm.
or the other conferences like the Big 12, well, they really can't drop it back to 8. And so that, because if it's about getting teams into that tournament and getting teams into that opportunity, well, it's got to be even footing. Everyone's got to be playing the same. The easiest thing is for the SEC to add a ninth game within their conference. But the other concern, length of season A, but also you're going to ask fan bases to potentially travel to 3 or 4 different ball games. So can they actually do that if you're talking about a Big 12 championship game and then a first-round playoff game potentially? Now, that could be at home, but at the same time, then you're asking a lot of a fan base to be able to travel to these games. But at the same time, I think the interest in the sport, even if the fans aren't traveling from the homes, they'll be packed because fans that are in the area where they're playing it are going to want to go see those games.
Right.
And
they want to see those teams too.
Tickets will get sold and the TV ratings will be good. So again, I'm all for it. I'm all for the 12.
I'm up for 12 for sure.
Yeah.
Because it still ends up being 8 to me.
Do or die games are what sports are all about.
Yes.
And that's that you are creating, you're quadrupling your number of do or die games on an annual basis in college football.
Well, and then once again, here's what you're doing. You're helping the rest of these universities,
sure,
so that their other athletic programs will survive.
Agreed.
You know, nobody can say that, well, football gets this and football gets that. They're helping you truly survive. Now, with that kind of money?
$2 billion a year are the estimates just from the playoff. Just from the playoff. That
keeps your programs alive on your campus.
You spread that around pretty liberally, and it helps a lot.
Absolutely.
And share the revenues. All right, we'll be back. When we do, we will reset the top stories as we'll hand it off, hand our baton to light the tower. Jeff and Craig coming up top of the hour, but we'll reset those top headlines. Get you ready for tonight, too. Just one game on the card. Can Kevin Durant rise up and...
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Hey, it's B&E with you. Make sure you're priming your picks and studying the field at our Horn Major Golf Challenge. U.S. Open tees off on Thursday. You've got till 9 a.m. Thursday morning. Got a little extra time this time because it is a West Coast tee time out of Torrey Pines, San Diego, California. Do you dare pick in group one, do you dare pick Xander Schauffele, the San Diego native on his hometown?
Over
the likes of Bryson DeChambeau, John Rahm, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, or Colin Morikawa? You have to decide that.
Dude, the guy's struggling is Dustin Johnson.
Yes.
He's been playing with the kids a lot.
Well, you know, that Paulina can be distracting, I have to imagine, time to time. But he did win that, FedEx Cup last year, made a cool 10 mil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's doing all right. DJ's doing okay.
They're all doing all right. Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau, though, he is your defending champion. I mean, it was said last year when they played this U.S. Open Championship that he didn't have the short game for it. Well, he pulled away and won by 5 strokes.
Right.
So he's in group one. Group two, do you consider... I'm between Patrick Reed and Brooks Koepka in that group. Rory McIlroy's also falling into group two. Brooksy!
I'm taking Cantlay there.
Ooh, over Brooksy, Reed, and McIlroy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I kind of like Patrick. I don't know. No one likes Patrick Reed, but as far as picks go, I kind of like the way he plays the short game. His short game. You know who else is his short game coach? Dave Pelz.
That's right.
He and Phil Mickelson, probably the two best short games in getting up and down in tough spots, which you have to be able to do at the United States Open. So I might lean Reed there, but I still don't trust Rory.
You know who's back? Matsuyama.
Hideki.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in group three along with, this is a tough one too, because I really like Victor Hovland. You always like Hideki. You got Scottie Scheffler in there. You've got Louis Oosthuizen, Daniel Berger, and Tony Finau.
Yeah, Berger's struggling.
Usually I don't do great on these, but I try to eliminate people and then try to pick between a couple guys, right? Because you got to pick between 6 guys in each group. Golfer four. This is tough because this is where you want to take Jordan Spieth. But there's big Jason Kokrak who's had a great year. There's Paul Casey in that group.
Mm-hmm.
So, but probably going Spieth as a homer. As a homer. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to do that?
I don't. It's Jordan Spieth, man. He hasn't won a bunch, but he's in there. He's in the mix. I'm looking for golfers that go low.
Sure, you got to have that. That's right. You're looking for numbers in your losing bracket of number 200 and something, and I'll be behind you.
I think I was top 25 last year, last time around for PGA.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is your venue right here.
Lee Westwood in group five with Harris English, Cameron Smith, Will Zalatoris, Joaquin Neiman, and Sung Jae Im. And then there's group six. This is your sixth pick. Do you go Phil at home in San Diego, fresh off the PGA Championship, against Ryan Palmer? Not against, but this is who you have to pick from. Ryan Palmer, Corey Connors, Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Perez, and Matthew Wolff.
You have to go with Phil.
Have to go with Phil.
Yes, you do.
Have to go with Phil.
If not, I'd pick Corey Connors. I'd take that chance.
Is he related to Chuck Connors, the rifleman?
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, come on, man. All right. So we'll get over there and make your picks. You can make yours, and we'll have some fun with it through the Father's Day weekend and the U.S. Open. They're tough. It ain't easy. But may play the Horn Major Golf Challenge. And props to the Buck over there because he brought some leftover stuff from the Mullet Open. The prize bag is amazing. You're going to get to eat with gift certificates to Rudy's, Hat Creek, P.F. Chang's, Tony C's. You got a Mullet Open hat, a Tito's T-shirt, a dozen Titleist golf balls, Buck. That's $50 right there.
Yep.
Plus two of those great-looking golf shirts. What is that, short par four?
Short par four, yes.
Awesome. So get those in by 9 o'clock Thursday morning to win. All right, we've got some breaking news. I kind of thought this, but I just saw the hotline ring, and it was Jeff Howe, because I could see on the caller ID. But it looks like the Longhorns have picked up a commitment from coming off of their recruiting weekend. Did Jeff tell you who it was, or did he say they picked up a commitment?
Yeah, he told me who it was, but there was a lot going on, so I lost the train of thought there. But I think it's a punter.
Oh, really?
I mean, he really called here for a punter. I mean, seriously, his show is coming up next, and that dude actually called here.
Oh,
and that's supposed to be
breaking news. Hey, now.
Jeff's been in radio for a while, right?
No, that's. Well, I mean,
breaking news on a punter?
Is he
on his show here in 3 minutes.
What if he's as good as Michael Dixon? Just kidding.
Just kidding. They just don't grow on trees, those dudes.
Just saying. Wait for Jeff. Jeff will have the intel on the newest Texas commitment.
The breaking news, yes.
Oh, here it is. Kicker to the 2022 class, oh. Will Stone. Will Stone is in from Austin Regents.
He didn't mean to call you on that. That was a mistake. He was trying to call his wife, and he just hit your number for that breaking news, right?
We are the show of record, the station of record when it comes to Longhorn football news.
Okay.
Hey, if you don't have a punter, what are you doing?
Finding one. Finding one down the road somewhere, yes. Your laugh, so stop. Hey. Don't look at me and try to give me the old stink eye like, well, that's break. You're looking at me like, wow.
Well,
I thought there was like an emergency or something.
It's not Arch Manning. You know what
I'm okay,
saying?
Okay, yeah.
It's
I mean, seriously. Okay, now I'm good.
But that won't be happening anytime soon, I don't think.
No.
But yeah, Will Stone.
Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate that.
Kicker.
Breaking news.
Well, he didn't call and ask to come on the show. He called and just told Zay. So we'll promote that Jeff Howe will have more on that. On the breaking news.
Okay.
Also, Chris Del Conte, the athletic director of the University of Texas. What a year they've had on the 40 acres and all the fields and courts and pools of play. He will be on with Shirts and Skins this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Trey Elling will have that conversation. And RBKD this afternoon, Longhorn Blitz podcast coming your way tonight at 7 o'clock with Jeff Howe, Rod Babers, and, of course, Matthew Butler. Make sure you're checking that out as well tonight. Have a wonderful Tuesday. NBA tonight, Nets, Bucks. Who you got, Zay?
I got Bucks.
Can Kevin Durant put him on his back, score
50? I'm going for Kevin for 50.
You got Kevin for 50? All right. We'll see tonight. It's the lone NBA game. Also, Astros Rangers tonight, Major League Baseball, a little interleague baseball down at Minute Maid Park in Houston. We talk about all that tomorrow morning. Also, gearing up for Omaha. Did find out that the Longhorns are leaving for Omaha tomorrow. They can get a workout in up there on Thursday and on Friday.
So we'll get Coach on Thursday probably again.
We will certainly get Coach Thursday morning at 8:30, our normal slot with the now Omaha-bound head coach of the Texas Longhorns. It's going to be a fun week. Certainly be a fun Wednesday tomorrow. Join us at 6 a.m. If you missed any part of today's program, you can always go back and listen on the podcast at hornfm.com. Zay, thanks, Buck. Great stuff. Appreciate
See you, buddy.
It. Everybody have a great Tuesday.